2 weeks ago, we introduced this session. But we said before we can start speaking about the adab, the mannerisms required of us towards our Prophet ﷺ, which was this week's session, we needed first to pave the way and understand who he ﷺ was and is and will continue to be in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said when we learn about who he is in the eyes of our Lord, Al-Malik, and how he occupies this high status, then the byproduct of that should be a reflection of how we see him, how we must honor him, and put him in a high status. For if Allah Almighty puts him in this high status, then this, by way of extension, should be how we, the Muslims, the worshippers of Allah Almighty, put him and place him. And we spoke from the Quran, and we spoke from the prophetic tradition, we spoke from history, and we spoke about what will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah and how the star of the Prophet ﷺ will rise and everybody will sing in his praise. And he will be elevated to a position that only he will be able to accomplish. After having paved the way and the love of the Prophet ﷺ, I hope by now is really gripping our hearts. We're now in a strong position to ask the question, what is expected from us towards him, alayhi salatu wasalam? So let us begin, and I'm going to summarize or compartmentalize the next hour or so under four headings. Take note of them, please. And we said we wanted writing, documentation to become a culture of our masjid, please. So for those of you who are inshallah becoming a minority now, who are coming empty-handed, please take heed, and next week bring with you a pen and paper and take note. And that is better than taking note than on your phone, by the way. There is something miraculous about the book and the pen. The first of the adab, the mannerisms expected of us towards the Prophet ﷺ, is to believe that he was a prophet sent by Allah Almighty to all of humanity. Every one of those words is carefully chosen. Anything less than it will be bad adab, bad manners towards him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Some people believe that he is a great leader, the world's greatest statesman that has ever walked the earth, the world's most influential human being to tread the globe. None of that is sufficient. Before this and above this, is that he is a prophet, a nabi, and a rasul, and a messenger sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole of humanity. Why is that part of the sentence required? Because some people will accept that he is a prophet, and we've heard some Jews who say that he indeed is a prophet sent by God Almighty, but not to us. He's sent to the Arabs. So we say that we are to believe that he is a prophet, not just a leader and a man of influence. He is a prophet sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole of humanity. Did you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a pledge, an agreement, from every one of the prophets and messengers to walk the earth, from Adam alayhi salam until Prophet Isa, the prophet just before our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, saying to them that if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam appears as a prophet during your era, then you are to believe in him, and you are to support him, and you are to tell your people to believe him and to support him. Imagine this message was given to Adam and Dawood and Idris, Sulaiman and Daniel, Dhunnun, Lut, Ibrahim, all of them had the same message. If he appears during your time, you will believe in him and you will support him. The evidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3 of the Quran, and as was explained by Abdullah ibn Abbas, Allah said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Remember when Allah Almighty took the agreement from the prophets. What was the nature of the agreement? لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ. Allah said to the prophets that if after I have given you the scripture and the wisdom. Then comes a messenger. Who is he? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then comes a messenger who confirms what you have been given, that you will believe in him and you will support him. Then Allah said to those prophets, قَالَ أَأَقَرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَٰلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. Allah said, have you taken the agreement? Have you taken up the covenant? قَالُوا أَقَرَرْنَا. And they said, we have taken it, O Allah, we agree. قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَّ مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Allah said, so bear witness and I am with you from those who bear witness. Allahu Akbar. Should he have appeared in any era, it was upon the Prophet to believe and to hand over to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to support him. So it's good that people, and we always cite these things in our talks, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed the most influential figure in human history. And I recently submitted a postgrad in Islamic leadership philosophy, so I'm very much in the environment of speaking about leaders and the leadership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is only a very small piece as per who he was. It's great that we quote the likes of Mazurman and Reverend Bosworth Smith and Lamartine and others who said of how great a leader he was, alayhi salatu wasalam. And certainly Michael H. Hart, his book, The 100 Most Influential People in Human History, and he crowned that list with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam as the most influential person in human history. And he puts him before Christ, whom he himself believes that was God Almighty. That's great, we can talk about that. But if you put a full stop there, you have inadvertently displayed terrible adab towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because his first and most important feature after being a slave and worshipper of Allah Almighty is that he is a messenger and prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we give him all the other noble titles thereafter. It begins with him being a prophet, accepting that, sent by Allah to all of humanity. That is adab number one. I don't think anybody here has an issue with this, so we move on swiftly to adab number two. Adab number two towards him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's make an agreement. We will all say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we're going to get to this in point number three, inshallah. Adab number two towards him is that we rush towards everything that he has instructed us to do, and we flee instantly from everything that he has prohibited us from without the slightest bit of hesitation. Did you know that it is still possible to raise your voice over the voice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Quran has prohibited us from doing this and has warned that those who raise their voice over his, they have put themselves in a very awkward situation where all of their hasanat, their good deed, may come crashing down and rendered meaningless on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Why? Because of a voice that was raised over his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, La tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Don't raise your voices over the voice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. And don't speak over him in a loud way as you do with one another. What will happen if they do this? Allah said, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Lest your good deeds may be rendered null whilst you perceive not. Imagine those who raise their voices over the voice of the Prophet ﷺ, then their future as a Muslim could be jeopardized before Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And that is why after this ayah was revealed, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will only ever speak to you as a person who is telling his brother a secret. He would almost whisper. And Umar radiallahu anhu would lower his voice when speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much that the Prophet would almost always need to say to him, sorry, can you repeat that again, please? La ilaha illallah, adab with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You're now going to say to me, how does that relate to me? As a Muslim in the 21st century, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam has passed away, I say to you, no, it's doable. You can raise your voice over his voice today as it was possible when he was still with us, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. How? Imam Ibn Qayyim, he said in his book, إعلام الموقعين, take note of these words. He said, فَإِذَا كَانَ رَفْعُ أَصْوَاتِهِمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِهِ سَبَبًا لِحَبُوطِ الْأَعْمَالِ فَكَيْفَ تَقْدِيمُ آرَائِهِمْ وَعُقُولِهِمْ وَسِيَاسَاتِهِمْ وَأَمْزِجَتِهِمْ وَأَهْوَائِهِمْ عَلَى مَا جَاءَ بِهِ وَرَفْعُهَا عَلَيْهِ أَلَيْسَ هَذَا أَوْلَى بِحَبُوطِ الْأَعْمَالِ End quote. He said, if merely raising your voice over the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient to cause your good deeds to come crashing down, he said, take note, what then of a people who give preference to their opinions, their intellects, their tastes, their politics, their ideas over that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and elevate it over him? He said, is this not a greater cause of having your good deeds come crashing down? Did you understand it? If simply raising your voice over his can bring you this consequence, what then of people who put their ideas and thoughts and preferences and desires over his, alayhi salatu wasalam, will that not bring about a similar outcome? And that is why Ibn Abu Bakr Ibn al-Arabi in his book Ahkam al-Quran, he said, take note of these words. وَحُرْمَةُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَيِّتًا كَحُرْمَتِهِ حَيَّا. He said, the sanctity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now that he has passed away, is identical to his sanctity and honor when he was still alive. Hasn't changed. Did you get this? And then he said, وَكَلَامُهُ الْمَكْتُوبُ فِي الرُّقْعَةِ مِثْلُ كَلَامِهِ الْمَسْمُوعِ مِنْ لَفْضِهِ. He said, and his words that are written down today in books are identical to his words that he uttered from his mouth. The idea is that just because the Prophet ﷺ is no longer with us in person, it doesn't mean that his guidance now is anything less. He is saying, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is with us today and he is saying to us in this masjid, do this, ya Muslims, refrain from this, O Muslims. He said that is the same as reading it from a book because it's from the same source. So let me give you a very quick tour about how the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam interacted with this adab that we are speaking about. Adab number two. To rush towards what he has instructed and to refrain from what he has prohibited, and doing it without questioning, without doubting, without hesitation, without second thought, without needing a scientific evidence or proof from the Western revelation or Eastern revelation as for why this is a good thing that you should do. How did the Sahaba interact with this adab, adab number two that we are speaking about? I share with you a few examples. Muslim narrates that some of the companions would say the following. نَهَانَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ أَمْرٍ كَانَ لَنَا نَافِعًا وَطَوَاعِيَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ أَنْفَعُ لَنَا. They said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade us from certain things that used to benefit us, but obeying Allah and His Messenger is of greater benefit to us. La ilaha illallah. There was some trade, there was some commerce, some buying and selling formats that were made haram. It used to bring in an income to the companions. They said that used to benefit us. But the mentality of adab towards him says a reframing is required. Obeying Allah and His Messenger will always be of greater benefit to us. Who can say that today and translate that in their trade, in their relationship, in their private conversations, online and offline? Obeying Allah and His Messenger is more benefit than what I think or what society thinks is right. Muslim also narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came across a sahabi who was wearing a gold ring. Gold is prohibited for the men, permitted for the women. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to this man and he took away the ring and he threw it. And he was upset and he said, يَعْمَدُ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ جَمْرَةٍ مِنْ نَارِ فَيَضَعُهَا فِي يَدِهِ. He said, why is it that some of you choose to take a live ember, a live coal from hell, and put it on his hand? So a man came to this individual who had the ring confiscated and thrown. He said to him, why don't you go and collect your ring, sell it, make some use of it. Don't put it on, but do something with it. But look at the mentality of the Sahabi who understand this adab number two. Putting him first, he said, La wallahi, la akhudhuhu wa qad tarahahu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, no, I swear by Allah, I will never pick up something that was thrown away by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya salam, ya salam, ya salam. Wallahi, it is mut'a, it is pleasure, it is like eating dessert. When speaking about the scenes of obedience of the Sahaba towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many things has he thrown away that we shouldn't pick up again? Whether that is the prohibition of alcohol or the use of drugs or the use of narcotics or the consumption of pornography or illicit relationships, ever it may be, he has thrown it away, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he has put it beneath his feet. Never pick up something that he has thrown away. A third example, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, a shaheed, a martyr, may Allah Almighty have mercy upon the martyrs of the Muslims. Abdullah ibn Rawaha hears the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, Ijlisu, he is giving the khutbah, the Friday sermon, and the Prophet said, Ijlisu, sit down. Abdullah ibn Rawaha is still outside in Qitaiz, right, crossing over to come into the masjid. He hasn't come into the masjid. He sits down in the middle of the road. Will not delay it. If that was you, or me, most certainly, I would have said he means sit down if you're in the masjid. So I'd quickly get into the masjid and sit down in a comfortable spot on the carpet. He sat down in the middle of the road. After the khutbah is finished, he is told about what Abdullah ibn Rawaha did. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised him. And he said, Zadakallahu hirsan ala tawa'iyatillahi wa rasulihi. May Allah Almighty increase you in eagerness in obeying Allah and His Messenger. No surprise that a man who lived so close to the Sunnah will die as a martyr. This is Abdullah ibn Rawaha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Jabir ibn Sulaym, another companion, who said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, i'ahad ilay, O Messenger of Allah, give me some advice. He said to him, La tasubanna ahada, don't curse anyone, don't swear. Perhaps this was an issue that was quite unique to Jabir ibn Sulaym. Maybe he was a little bit comfortable in the vocab that he was using and his vernacular. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a tailored bit of advice. As for you, watch your mouth, don't curse anyone. How did he respond? Because some people have this issue, right? Every other word is just an F this and an F that. Have you met those people? What did you have for lunch? I had an effing sandwich. What was in your sandwich? It was an effing cheese and coleslaw. Why? It's like you're just walking on this minefield and you're going to get F-bombed all of a sudden. Swearing. And some people justify it. I'm not profane. I'm not vulgar. I'm not rude. It's just, I'm just authentic. Just authentic. Yeah, you're authentically rude. You're authentically vulgar, authentically profane. And they don't even try to look for the alternatives, you know. So the F, what is it, flipping, and then the other S word, sugar. No, they're going for it. Jabir ibn Sulaym, he said, Messenger of Allah, give me advice. He said, don't curse anyone, don't swear. What did he say? Did he say, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to find the alternatives. It's going to take me some time to get it out of my system. I mean, everyone around me is swearing. And how do I express myself? No, none of this nonsense. He said to him, فَمَا سَبَبْتُ بَعْدَهُ حُرًّا وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا شَاتًا وَلَا بَعِيرًا. He said, after hearing this advice, he said, by Allah, I never insulted a human being, whether free or a slave or a camel or a sheep. That's the end of it. Done. And of course, sisters, this is not limited to the males of the Sahaba. Alhamdulillah, the female Sahabiyat were just as compliant and reverent towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they were women of adab towards him. Our mother Aisha, she said, يرحم الله نساء المهاجرات الأول. May Allah Almighty have mercy on the early Muslim women from the migrants who came from Mecca to Medina. May Allah have mercy on them. How come? She said, لما أنزل الله وليضربن بخمرهن على جيوبهن شققن مروطهن فاختبرن بها. She said, because when Allah Almighty revealed the ayah of hijab in the Quran, saying that women need to draw over their cloaks, over their bodies, what did they do? They didn't even wait to go home to look for a hijab. She said they started to tear their clothes at once. They started to rip it and to wrap it around their bodies and their faces. Incredible. There wasn't this whole, can we take it step by step, oh Messenger of Allah, can I have one of those loose hijabs, a little bit hot under the collar, can I just show my neck? Right? Is it okay if I start off in the winter, Messenger of Allah, because in Arabia it's hot, it's scorching, you know, in the summer we'll give it a miss, in the winter I'm good with the hijab. Besides, if I put on the hijab, how am I going to get hitched? Who's gonna take a woman like me? How will they know what I look like? And it's funny because it seems that the best hijab women are usually the ones who struggle the least to get married. This is in my limited observation, it's anecdotal, I may be wrong. None of this. No fashion consultation about what type of hijab I want to go for step by step. Am I okay wearing the turban hijab? Am I okay to wear the flex fit hijab? Am I okay to wear the tech cap hijab? Am I okay to start off with the crisscross turban type hijab? None of that. Messenger of Allah, I want to go to Thorpe Park on the water rides. Can I wear just a speedo cap? Can I wear a hoodie instead of the hijab, because hoodies are super comfortable? Messenger of Allah, is it okay if I put on a Zoom filter that shows as though I am wearing a hijab, but I'm not really wearing a hijab? Is that okay? Do I have to wear the hijab online, or is it just offline? None of those questions. They heard that Allah Almighty has obligated this hijab. They started to tear their clothes. Imagine, there and then, on site, without any questions about fashion or gradation, and they became women of hijab. And by the way, we as males, we have our own challenges in accepting the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, but maybe with us it's less about fashion and more about money. You sit with women, they're complaining about men. You sit with men, they're complaining about money. Money is the talk of most men. So you say to a brother, for example, this is a common issue, Allah Almighty has forbidden riba, usury interest, it's haram. What about a very small amount of riba? Like just pennies, it's in the contract, it's not going to make me rich. Yeah, with that penny, you're still at war with Allah and His Messenger. All right, let's not call it the riba interest, let's call it a gift. The end of the loan, He's going to give me a gift. Is that okay? So it's just interest with another name. She's still at war with Allah and His Messenger. Okay, what if I invest some money with a company and then the profits that they give me happen to be equal to the interest rate of the day? It's profits. Riba in another name. Is it okay if I lend someone some money and then at the end of each afternoon he buys me lunch? Yeah, if it's connected to the loan, it's still riba. There's no getting out of it. So this is the difference. So notice that whenever you put your preference, your dress preference, your food preference, your business preference over that of the Prophet ﷺ, what are you doing, brothers? What are we doing, sisters? What's the word that we're looking for? We are raising our voices over the voice of the Prophet ﷺ. That's adab number what? 2. Adab number 2. Adab number 3 is to send abundant salah and salam, salutations and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is an ayah in the Quran I know you've come across. I want you to listen to it as though you are hearing it for the first time, because it is mind-blowing. It is staggering. But lend me your mind and heart for just a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah and His Messenger, Allah and His angels, They send blessings upon the Prophet. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So, O you who believe, send blessings and peace upon him. Why is this so profound and staggering? Because we don't know of any act, any amal. For us as humans, it's an act of worship. However, we don't know of any amal, an act, that is participated in by the Muslims and the angels, and Allah Almighty Himself partakes in it, other than this one, of sending blessings and salutations and peace upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You are doing it, the angels are doing it, and Allah Almighty is doing it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Indeed, Allah and His angels are sending blessings upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is incredible to add to the blessings of him alayhi salatu wasalam. What happens in the life of a mu'min, a believer, who frequently says, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad, sending blessings and peace upon him, what are you to expect in your life as a return on investment? Listen to this hadith. At-Tirmidhi narrates on the authority of Ubay ibn Ka'b that the companion Ubay said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, inni ukthiru as-salata alayk, fa'am kam aj'alu laka min salati. O Messenger of Allah, I send a lot of salah and salam upon you in my dua. So how much of my dua should I dedicate for this? Meaning, when I'm raising my hands and I'm asking Allah Almighty for things, I say, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I say, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. So what percentage of my dua should be of sending salutations and blessings upon you? He said to him, ma shi'ta, whatever you wish. He said, al-rubu', should I dedicate a quarter of my dua for this? He said, ma shi'ta, fa'in zidta fahuwa khayrun lak. He said, if you wish, quarter is fine. But if you do more, it'll be better for you. Ubay ibn Ka'b, he said, النصف, what about half? He said to him, ما شئت فإن زدت فهو خير لك. If you wish, half is fine, but if you do more, it'll be better for you. Ubay ibn Ka'b, he said, فالثلثين, should I dedicate 2/3 of my dua to sending blessings upon you? He said to him, ما شئت فإن زدت فهو خير لك. That's fine. If you do more, it'll be better for you. So Ubay ibn Ka'b, he said, and look at the questions of a scholar. He said, أَجْعَلُ لَكَ صَلَاتِي كُلَّهَا. Should I dedicate all of my dua to just sending salah and salam upon you? What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say to him? He said, إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَيُغْفَرَ ذَنْبُكْ. He said, if you do this, all of your worries will be removed and all of your sins will be erased. What is the greatest aspiration of life today? To have your worries removed. And what is the greatest aspiration on the Day of Judgment? To have your sins removed. As-salaam wa salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removes the burdens of today and erases the sins of tomorrow. Allahu Akbar, what a successful formula it is. Question. What is the question, by the way? Just to see if we're both on the same line. What's the question? Are we thinking about the same one? Ali, what's the question? No questions. Malik, what's the question? Mafi? So clear, you know what to do? So for the rest of your life, you're going to give salat and salam upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you're never going to make a dua for yourself, صح? Is there a question? No, still no questions. طيب. I'm amazed. Jahangir, is there a question? Should we make dua for ourselves? Is that a good question, Malik? It's not a good question, yeah, Jahangir, he said. Should we make dua for ourselves? This seems to be like a winning formula, doesn't it? So why on earth would I ever ask for anything for myself? I just say, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad all night. What's the answer? What's the answer? How do we understand this hadith of Ubay? So we should start with sending salutations upon the Prophet ﷺ. So this we're all agreed on. But the hadith suggests that if you start, you end, everything in between with salah and salam upon him, then your sins will be forgiven and your burdens removed. So this suggests that maybe you should give up on dua and just do this all day, all the night. Because it's a winning formula. What do we do? How do we understand this? Abu Bakr, ايش رأيك? Start with it, end with it. Okay. Yeah. Take it in moderation. Ah, how? Ah, جيد, yeah, mashallah. What do you study? What do you study at school? Ah, GCSEs. طيب, mashallah. طيب, so this is a good answer. Rubel, what do you think? What he said. Told you it's a good answer. طيب, here is the understanding of it as was given by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and other scholars. They said that Ubay ibn Ka'b is asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that there is a particular dua in the day that I specify for myself, for my personal needs, my problems. Dua astajlibu bihi al-khayr wa astadfi'u bihi al-shar fa kam aj'alu laka min salati fihi. There is a particular dua that Ubay would make for himself. So there's a dua for the ummah, there's a dua for the children, there's a dua for other things. But there's also a dua that I make for myself. So he was asking him about the dua that he's making for himself. How much of that dua should I dedicate for you in terms of salah and salam? He said to him, for that dua, if you make it all salah and salam upon me, then your sins are erased and your problems are alleviated. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Understood? There is two stories quickly I share with you on this. By the way, even my wife, Umm Ubaida, Allah yahfadha, every time, she always messages me. I struggled to find parking today. I said salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody moved out of the way and allowed me to park. It's like 1 + 1 = 2 in her life. Really. Ni'mah from Allah. And if it doesn't work in your life, because it's your heart that is not functioning well, not the dua that is failing. There is one of our scholars from Egypt, from the city of Mansoura, and he said that there was a young girl, she couldn't have been 15 years old. And she said to him, Shaykh, I need your help understanding a reoccurring dream that I'm having involving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, whoa, hold on a minute. A reoccurring dream involving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? She said, yeah. He said, you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in your dream a lot? She said, yes, alhamdulillah. He said, what's your secret? This is the Shaykh. Because it's a dream of ours. It's our ambition to see him. What's your secret? She said, I don't know, Shaykh. Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah. I say salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on average 10,000 times a day. So naturally, Allah will not let down a person like her. The same Shaykh, he says, I was once delivering a lecture in the masjid. And then one of my students came to me after the class, and this was on a Wednesday evening. And he said to me, Shaykh, can you come after the class and visit my mother? An old 8-year-old woman. She is going through a bit of a challenge in her life, and she has asked if you can come and visit her. He said, of course. The class finishes. They make their way to the home of this elderly woman. They enter a very primitive and weathered home. And the woman brings us into our house, into her house, and she gives us hospitality. And what we found amazing about her is that every other sentence that she said was Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Come in, faddalu. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Kif halak, Shaykh, how are you doing? Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. It was like every other breath she was taking. He said to her, Auntie, how can I help you? She said to him, my son, I don't really need help because I know my illness and I know my cure. He said, what is the problem? She said, Shaykh, I haven't seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in my dream for 3 days in a row. He said, you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every night? She said, yes, alhamdulillah, it's been like that for many years. See, there are some people who go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there are people who are visited by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So use this word, get used to this statement, be connected to your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. That's adab number what? Adab number three. Adab number four, and we'll conclude with this. To love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with every atom of your being. To truly love him. It's so easy to say this. No, I mean truly to love him alayhi salatu wasalam. More than you love your mother and father, more than you love water on a hot day. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. None of you will reach the full state of Iman until I, the Prophet of Allah, become dearer to you than your child, your parent, and all of humanity. Allah Almighty knows how many nights he spent awake, weeping, soaking his blessed beard with his tears, thinking about you, how he's going to be a cause of your salvation and mine. And so to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we complain of how hard our hearts have become towards a man whose heart was so soft towards us. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah. How are the Sahaba with respect to loving their messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, something that you couldn't imagine, something that you couldn't make up. Ishaq al-Tujaybi, he said, describing the companions, he said, كَانُوا لَا يَذْكُرُونَهُ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهِ إِلَّا خَشَعُوا وَقْشَعَرَّتْ جُلُودُهُمْ وَبَكَوْا. He said, every time the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam remembered the Prophet of Allah after he had passed away, every time they would mention his name, they would be humbled with khushu'ah, and their skins would shiver, and they would begin to shed tears. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the number one man of this ummah for a reason. Because nobody loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam more than Abu Bakr. Quiet in his sound, little in his words, enormous in his iman, enormous in his love towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ibn Kathir, he mentions a narration that not many people speak of in his seerah, that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that early in Mecca, when the Muslims were 38 in number, Islam was still a child. Abu Bakr, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I think it is time for us now to go public in our da'wah. We're 38 men strong now and there's no need to be secretive about this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Abu Bakr, careful. We're still few in number. There will be time for this. We're still few in number. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu insisted, this is the time, O Messenger of Allah. There's nothing to hide now. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the space. Do what you need to do. So the Muslims went into the masjid, Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, and they dispersed in different places because they knew chaos was about to ensue. And each companion sat with his tribe. And Abu Bakr was with his tribe, the tribe of Taym. And he stood up as a khatib, a sermon giver. And he began to speak about Allah, Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and that this man sat over there, that is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is upon all of you to leave your idols and surrender to his message. The masjid erupted. And the pagans and the idol worshippers turned towards all of the Muslims and they began to beat them. As for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was trampled. And he was severely beaten by a group of them. He's on the floor and you cannot see him as they kick into him. And the worst of them was the fasiq, the sinner, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, who took off his sandal and he turned it to the side to give it the hard edge. And he was hitting the face of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with so much force that by the end of it, you couldn't recognize the front or the back of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's head. He had swollen, his nose had disappeared. He was disfigured, he passed out. They thought he had died. The tribe of Taym fought off the pagans and they put Abu Bakr in a cloth and they carried him back to his home, the home of his parents, Abu Quhafa and Umm al-Khayr. Then the tribe of Taym, Abu Bakr's tribe, went back to the masjid and they said, Wallahi, by God Almighty, if Abu Bakr dies, we're coming back and we're going to kill Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, come what may. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was unconscious for all of the day and most of the evening. Late that night, as his tribe were pushing him to say something, they managed to get a response. And his very first words were, ما فعل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. What happened to the Messenger of Allah? And they told him off. They said, don't be speaking about anything now. Just focus on your health. Get some rest. Then the tribe of Taym, they left. And they said to his mother, Umm al-Khayr, take care of him. Make sure that he eats and drinks. And when she was alone with him, mother, what happened to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم? She said to him, I don't know anything about Muhammad ibn Abdullah. She wasn't a Muslim. I don't know anything about your friend. He said to her mother, go to Ummu Jamil bint al-Khattab, because she was a Muslim. Tell her to come here, please. Umm al-Khayr, she goes to Ummu Jamil. She said, he's asking about Muhammad ibn Abdullah. And Ummu Jamil, she said, I don't know anything about him. She does, but she was hiding her Islam. I don't know anything about him. She said, can you come with me? So they went back. Ummu Jamil, she saw the face of Abu Bakr. She said, may Allah Almighty curse the ones who did this to you. He said to her, what happened to the Messenger of Allah? She said, your mother's listening. He said, don't worry about my mother. What happened to the Messenger of Allah? She said to him, Alhamdulillah, he is well. He said to her, no. I swear by Allah Almighty, no food or drink is coming into my mouth until I see the Messenger of Allah. So they waited until the hustle and bustle went down and they managed to help him stand and they brought him to the house of Al-Arqam, Ibn Abi Al-Arqam. And there the companions, they crowded around Abu Bakr and they wept over him and they kissed him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up for As-Siddiq and he kissed him. And Aisha, she said, فَرَقَّ لَهُ رِقَّةً شَدِيدًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart broke when he saw Abu Bakr in the state. But Abu Bakr's only concern was, I don't want your heart to break. And he said to him, Bi abi anta wa ummi, ma bi shay illa ma nala al-fasiqu min wajhi. Messenger of Allah, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm completely okay. It's just the sinner. He really harmed my face. In other words, it's just how I look. Don't worry about it. I'm completely okay. Allahu Akbar. And what about Sawad ibn Ghaziyya radiallahu ta'ala anhu? On the day of Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is lining up his companions for a war that they were not expecting nor wanting. And Sawad now in his final moments with his belly protruding outside of the line. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he pokes him in his belly and he said, Istawiya Sawad, stand in line, O Sawad. Sawad ibn Ghaziyya, he said, Awja'tani ya Rasulullah, you've hurt me. وَقَدْ بَعَثَكَ اللَّهُ بِالْحَقِّ. And Allah has sent you indeed with the truth. فَأَقِدْنِي. So allow me to retaliate. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam establishing justice even on the battlefield. And he stands in front of Sawad and he raises his garment and he uncovers his blessed and white torso. And he said to him, استقد يا Sawad. Retaliate. Take your revenge, O Sawad. And so Sawad ibn Ghaziyya pounces on the body of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he kisses him in his torso. He said to him, why did you do this, O Sawad? He said, O Messenger of Allah, حَضَرَ مَا تَرَى. You see the situation that we're in. We're not going to go back to our families. فَأَرَدْتُ أَن يَكُونَ آخِرُ الْعَهْدِ بِكَ أَن يَمَسَّ جِلْدِي جِلْدُكَ. And so I wanted my last memory in life to be me making contact with your skin. La ilaha illallah. This is the love that they had for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Thinking about being close to him even when they are essentially experiencing the throes of death. And Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah, one of the leaders of the Ansar, he was missing on the day of Uhud. And the day of Uhud was a difficult day for the Muslims. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Zayd ibn Thabit, go back to the battlefield. This was after the battle had subsided. Go back to the battlefield and look for Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah. And if you find him, say to him that the Messenger of Allah says, how are you doing? Zayd ibn Thabit, he makes his way back to the battlefield and he is stepping over the corpses. And finally he sees Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah facing the heavens, fatally injured, breathing his last. He kneels down to Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah. He whispers into his ear and he says, the Messenger of Allah has sent me to you. And he said, Assalamu alaikum, how do you feel? Sa'd ibn Rabi'ah, he said, upon you and the Messenger of Allah is the peace. And tell him, O Messenger of Allah, I smell the fragrance of Jannah. And then he said, convey a message to my people, the Ansar. Say to them, your leader says, لا عذر لكم أمام الله إن خلص إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفيكم عين تطرف. Tell my people that you have no excuse before Allah Almighty if any harm touches the Prophet of Allah whilst any one of you has an eye that blinks. And then he breathed his last and he passed away. رضي الله عنه. His last moments, he's not thinking about his inheritance or his wife or his children. He's thinking about his teacher, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what about the words of Urwatu ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, who was sent as an ambassador by Quraysh to go and see how the Muslims are operating with this man who's claiming to be a prophet at Hudaybiyah. They said, go and investigate. And so he watches from a distance how the companions are behaving around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes back to the Quraysh. What does he say to them? Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, أي قومي, O my people, والله لقد وافدت على الملوك. I visited the kings of the world. ووافدت على قيصر وكسر والنجاشي. And I visited Caesar, Khosrows, and the king of Abyssinia. وإن رأيت والله ملكا قد يعظمه أصحابه ما يعظم أصحاب محمد محمدا. And in my life, he said, I have never seen a people who honor their king more than those companions honored their prophet. He said, وَاللَّهِ إِن تَنَخَّمَ نُخَامَةً إِلَّا وَقَعَتْ فِي كَفِّ أَحَدِهِمْ فَذَلَكَ بِهَا وَجْهَهُ وَجِلْدَهُ. Even if he wanted to spit on the floor, one of the companions would be there to catch it and would wipe his face and his body with his blessed spittle. Allahu Akbar. He said, وَإِذَا تَوَضَّأَ كَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وُضُوئِهِ. And when he would do his wudu, his ablution, they would almost kill one another. They would fight with one another, competing for the remains of the water that were dropping off his body. وَمَا يَحِدُّونَ إِلَيْهِ النَّظَرَ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. And they would never stare at him out of honor to their prophet. وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمَ خَفَضُوا أَصْوَاتَهُمْ. And when they would speak, they would lower their voices in his presence. Allahu Akbar. Honor that they had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and true love. And this wasn't just the men, again it was the women. A woman from the tribe of Dinar who was told on the battle of Uhud that you've lost your husband, you've lost your father, and you've lost your son. You've lost your father, your husband, and your son, all in one battle. She said, مَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. What happened to the Messenger of Allah? They said, هُوَ بِخَيْرٍ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. He's good by the grace of Allah. She said, no, point him out to me so that I can see him. They said, there he is, over there. Can you see him? He's okay. And then they heard her muttering to herself, كُلُّ مُصِيبَةٍ بَعْدَكَ جَلَلٍ. Which means, every calamity is small as long as you are okay. Allahu Akbar. Who can do that? They saw a man who was a perfect worshipper of Allah, a perfect mujahid, combatant in the path of Allah, man who was perfect in his generosity, perfect in his mercy and kindness. And let me say, and just to round up the talk, when outer beauty mixes with inner beauty, that's when the circle of love is complete. They loved him because not only was he a man who was fine in his character and his akhlaq, he was a man who was fine in his physical construct. You know why? Because we do judge people by appearances, and we do judge books by their covers. That's just a fact of life. And that's why every prophet and messenger was the finest of all men, even from an appearance perspective. He was the most handsome of men. There may be people who are very attractive, but the moment they speak, they become the ugliest of people. And similarly, there may be people who are very attractive in their character, but from a facade perspective, it's not all there. People don't do them justice, unfortunately. That's the nature of man. Allah Almighty, catering for this nature, He made him the finest of all people in character, and He made him the most splendid of people in physical form. What did he look like? It's important to know this, because that increases our ability to act upon this fourth adab of loving the Prophet ﷺ. What did he look for? Because the eye and the heart have the yearning for those who are charming and graceful. Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's appearance, he said, كان إذا سر استنار وجهه حتى كأن وجهه قطعة قمر. He said, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be happy, his face would illuminate as though it was a portion of the moon. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كان رسول الله أبيض الوجه كأن صيغ من فضة. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a white, fair complexion. It was as if he was fashioned from silver. You see from their descriptions, immense love proliferating their words. He was a man of a fair complexion. It was as if he was fashioned from silver. Jabir ibn Samura, he said, رأيت النبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam ليلة إضحيان. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on one night when the moon was full. And so I started to look at the moon and look at his face and look back at the moon and back at his face. And he was wearing a red garment and he was in my eyes even more beautiful than the moon. And Al-Bara' ibn Azib, he said, كان مربوعًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of a medium stature, not too tall and not too short. وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ وَعَلَيْهِ حُلَّةٌ حَمْرَاءَ. And I once saw him wearing a red garment. مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا قَطُّ أَحْسَنَ مِنْهُ. In my life, I have never seen anything more handsome than him. And the most famous description of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, of course, the description of Umm Ma'bad al-Khuza'iyyah, that old lady who hosted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in her tent during the migration. They came into her tent and they found nothing that she could give them. She said, I'm sorry, it's just this lone goat that has nothing, no milk to offer. He said, do you mind if I milk it? He tried to milk it. The udder became full. He gave them milk and it had a froth on the top layer. It came out with so much force and barakah. They all drank. Her husband comes back and he says, Umm Ma'bad, where did this milk come from? She said, no, a blessed man had visited us today. He said, give me the description of this man. She said to him, رأيت رجلا. I saw a man, ظاهر الوضاءة, of a glowing appearance, أبلج الوجه, of a radiant face, حسن الخلق, of perfect proportions, لم تعبه ثحلة, he never had a protruding belly, ولم تزر به صعلة, nor did he have a small head, وسيم, rather he was a handsome man, في عينيه داج, his eyes were intensely dark, وفي أشفاره وطف, and his eyelashes were long, وفي صوته صهل, and there was a huskiness in his voice. وفي عنقه سطع, and there was some length to his neck and light. وفي لحيته كثاثة, and his beard was dense and full. أزج, his eyebrows were finely arched. She said, إن صمت فعليه الوقار. When he was silent, he was a man of dignity. وإن تكلم سماه وعلاه البهاء. But when he spoke, he rose with magnificence and grace. أجمل الناس وأبهاه من بعيد. He was the most splendid and gracious and magnificent from afar. وأحلاه وأحسنه من قريب. The most sweet from up close. حلو المنطق. Even his words were so sweet. فصل. They were decisive, to the point. لا هذر ولا تزر. He never spoke too much or too little. كأن منطقه خزرات نظم يتحدرن. His words were as though they were pearls cascading from a string. She said, ربع, a man of medium stature. لا يأس من طول. He wasn't too tall. ولا تقتحمه عين من قصر. Nor was he frustratingly short. غصن بين غصنين فهو أنظر ثلاثة منظرا. It was like looking at a fine branch placed between two other branches. فهو أحلاهم وأحسنهم وأجلهم قدرا. But he was the finest of those branches and the highest in status. له رفقاء يحفون به. He had companions who were surrounding him. إن أمر تبادروا إلى أمره. If he instructs them to do something, they rush to the instruction. وإن تكلم خفضوا أصواتهم. And when he spoke, they would lower their voices. محمود محشود لا عابس ولا مفند. He was well served, well attended to, though he was never stern and he was never argumentative. If you truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will translate this love into action. You will look at what he did and you will try to be like him. And when you commit a sin, you will repent to Allah and avoid it. True love is compliance. True love is not poetry. True love is not eloquent lectures. True love is not portraits we put on our doors, on the backgrounds of our phones. True love is compliance and obedience. And we get this in our Islamic Council of Europe all of the time. husband and wife who are disputing. And he says to her, or she may say to him, but you know I love you. I love you so much. And they will say, how can you say that when you did this or you didn't do that? There is the understanding in the human experience that the meaning of true love is compliance, is obedience, is behavior, is action. So show your love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through your appearance, through your trade, through your salah, through your qiyam, through your hijab, through the reading of a book of seerah on a nightly basis with your family, or taking Riyadh al-Saliheen and taking a hadith or two or five or ten on a nightly basis by saying salah and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Leading a good and righteous life is the ultimate way of describing your love and proving your love. من يدعي حب النبي ولم يفد من هديه فسفاهة وهراء فالحب أول شرطه وفروضه إن كان صدقا طاعة ووفاء. Those were the words of the poet who said, whoever claims to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam but does not stick to his instructions, then it is a nonsensical claim. He said, because we all know that the greatest manifestation of love, if it is true, it is obedience and compliance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We ask Allah Almighty to send his salam, salutations and blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to reward him aptly for all what he did for us. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, walhamdulillah.